Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we need you in every way. Father, without you, we can do nothing. Help us to understand that. Help us to live in that mindset. And Father, help us to put our faith in you that your blessings could be accomplished. Father, we pray for the lost that you would help them to see their need to turn and trust in Jesus. Help us that are saved that we'd see the need to turn from our ways when they're against your word and do that which is right and correct, that your name could be honored and glorified. Father, we pray for your mercy and your blessings and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn today to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. Now, to get you up to date, this is when the temple, often known as Solomon's Temple, is being dedicated. There's a lot of prayers and a lot of things that Solomon is praying and dealing with the people, and he's trying to remind them that we need to walk in the ways of God. And what happens if we forget to walk in the ways of God? I'm going to pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 in verse 22. It says, "If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in his house, in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do and judge thy servants. Be requited the wicked by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous," he says, "by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance." Now here in chapter 6, and we're not reading all of it, we're hitting some main points here, but he's getting across the point several times about if my people will do what? Turn. Which means what? Repent. If they will turn from their wickedness, if they'll turn to the right way that you've given them, God, if they'll repent, if they'll turn back, then you hear, then you bless. You know, this doesn't seem like a hard thing to do, but yet, for so many, it is a difficult thing to do. And you know, for many people, they just forget the goodness of God. And we forget sometimes about the blessings of repentance. And sometimes we just go our own way and we say, well, no matter what happens, it's just going to be this way or it's just going to be that way. And basically, there's nothing that can be done. There, you know, it is what it is, as the old statement goes. But I want to tell you, that's not what God says. That's not what God says. If you look over in chapter 7, he says in verse 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people Notice that statement. A lot of times we say, man, these people over here need to repent. These people over here are far off. We need to start with where judgment begins. Where does judgment begin in Scripture? Peter made the statement unto the churches that judgment begins at the house of God. Now we know that's not where it ends. We know that God is going to judge the world in righteousness. But where does it begin? He says judgment begins at the house of God. And we need to remember this. And he said, if my people, God's people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Notice that statement. We dealt with that last week dealing with Job, didn't we? If they will humble themselves, see themselves as who they are, stop being in pride, and humble themselves. Notice what he says. And pray. And seek my face. Now, seeking God's face doesn't mean we're just looking up to heaven, does it? Seeking His face means we're seeking to do His word. We're looking over the Word of God and we're saying, God, what do you want us to do? And when we look into the Word of God and we find that we're guilty of something, we're like, got you, God. Got you. And that's gone. I'm getting that out of the way. I'm removing it far from me. And that's where he says, and turn from their wicked ways. We have more of an attitude today, especially in churches, that whatever God says, it's not that important. Do you know how many times I've had people tell me, well, God only said that once. Well, that's not as important as salvation. And I'm going, you haven't read much of the Bible, have you? Because, see, to God, if He gave it to us in His Word, it's important. You preach on modesty and people say, that's not important. Yeah, God was just wasting ink. God was just wasting His words. I don't know why He gave it to us. You know, you mentioned tattoos today. God doesn't say He won't save somebody that's got a tattoo. God doesn't say He can't use somebody that's got them. But He did command His people that that's not what we should do. That our bodies are what? His. For His honor and glory. He said, you're not to cut upon yourself. You're not to mark the dead upon yourself. You're not. I mean, He said it. Oh, that's Old Testament. Your body is what? The temple? Temple of the Holy Ghost? Your life is God's, not yours? I think there's plenty of teaching in the New Testament that God teaches us modesty and not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to God. And some people are like, okay, I'll get a tattoo of God. That's not what He said. He wants our works to bring praise to Him. Not that other stuff. And it's pretty plain in Scripture. I might have upset somebody with that, but remember, it's not me that upsets you. It's things written in the Word of God that upset you. There's people that don't like the teaching on fornication. Do you know that it's still a sin to have sex outside of the bonds of marriage? Yeah, God's still against adultery. God is still against premarital sex and fornication. No, that might be a shocker to some people, but it's written on several pages, Old and New Testament. We don't want to repent. We don't want to turn. He also teaches us not to curse. And it's not just cussing He doesn't want us to do. He doesn't like us telling filthy jokes. He likes us to use words to edification. There are certain things He doesn't want us watching. There are certain things He doesn't want us reading. Not because He's trying to withhold education from us, but listen, I don't have to go and read Satan's Bible to understand that I don't need to do those things. I don't need to go get a witchcraft book to know I don't need to perform any witchcraft. In the book of Acts, And I will remind you, they didn't go and grab other people's books and burn them. They took their own books and said, God doesn't want us dabbling in this stuff. And it was witchcraft books, was some of it. And they burned them. And tell everybody else to burn theirs. They said, this is a choice we've made. They said, God's not honored with us doing this. And they did what? They turned. They repented. God says, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, repent, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need healing in our land today. We need anything fixed. Do we need God's blessings? I think we do. But yet so many times we avoid God's blessings. We miss it. You know why? We don't want to turn. We don't want to acknowledge that what we've been doing is wrong. And I'll be honest with you. There's times I look in the mirror and I say, God, and I'm like the psalmist sometimes, I'm going, God, is there any wicked way in me? God, have I grown stubborn? Have I grown cold-hearted? Is there things that I'm not letting you show me? Is there things that I've blinded myself to? Is there things that I've hardened my heart to? Is there things that I don't want to let go of? These are all important questions to ask, isn't it? You know, there are several places in the Bible. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. I don't even know what abominations is. Some people say, yeah, homosexuality is an abomination. Amen, it is. You ever read Titus chapter 2? What else is an abomination? How many Christian women like reading that the women are to be keepers at the home? Now, you can take that scripture and misuse it, take it out of context. I remind people, rightly divide the word of truth. The woman in Proverbs 31 was one of the hardest working women. She made clothes, she took them to the market, she sold them. You know, the statement that women can't do any work or all they can be is a wife and a mother and clean the house, that's not all that's written in the scripture. That's a misuse of scripture and taking things out of context. But I will say this, the woman's number one priority is not a career, it's her family. It's clearly what it's teaching there. Clearly, without a doubt. And there's a whole lot of people that put money, that's an idol. If you're loving it, if that's what you're craving, if that's what you're seeking, there's a lot of people that put money before their family, don't they? And we don't want to call it an idol. There's people that put children before God, don't they? Or, man, how much time will we spend practicing with kids baseball? Hey, let's get off of sports. How much time do you force your kids to do their homework and do their studying? How much time do you have them read their Bible? Pray. How much time do you spend teaching them how to pray? We've got idols. We've got idols. How many times is the TV show more important than praying or studying our Bible. So much that we can't even take 10 minutes to read. Can't take 10 minutes to pray. Or 5 minutes even. I've had people tell me, "Preacher, I don't have time. I don't have time to study. It's hard for me to find the time to do this." But it's easy to find the time to practice ball. Or it's easy to find time to study for a test. It's easy to do all the other things that we think is important. And we don't want to see we have idols. How many people take more time planning for their vacations every year than they do in meditating and studying upon the Word of God? And most of us probably get one. Some may get 2 vacations a year. How many spend more time on that? How many spend more time on popularity? Fitting in? What idols do we have? See, sometimes I can see my idol by just going to the mirror. How much time do we spend on Facebook, social media? And then say, I'm tired, I don't have time to read my Bible. Oh, we might even post Christian stuff all day long. Well, God, I'm fighting the good fight. Well, God, I'm against abortion and I'm trying to tell people. How many minds have you changed on social media? I'm not preaching against social media. I'm just trying to show us that our time and energy, a lot of time, is not on what God would have us to be doing. And that's why the Lord turns to us and says, you need to repent. You need to turn yourselves from your idols. You need to turn away from your abominations. I mentioned the women. How many men love their wives as Christ loved the church? How many deal with them with understanding and deal with them as a fellow heir of the grace of God, which says if we don't do that our prayers might be hindered. That our prayers can be hindered. I'd call that a pretty significant sin that says our prayers can be hindered. You know, in that same book of Ezekiel, he said in chapter 18, verse 30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." How much is iniquity our ruin today? Let me get a little bit more personal. You want to see how selfish we are? The Bible says it's better never to make a vow than to make a vow and not pay. How many of you promised God that you'd be with your spouse till death do us part? How many of you kept that promise? You might want to study divorce in the Scripture. It's a pretty serious subject. And God even says, if you finally get to the place that you feel like you have no other choice but to divorce, what is your option if you get divorced? What happens if you remarry? The Bible says you committed adultery. That's out of Jesus' own mouth, so don't come blaming me with that. Don't get angry with me. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting Scripture to you. Trying to tell you the truth. And people want to say, well, what about exceptions? What, fornication? Even then, that's not God's desire. And even if you do get divorced because of fornication, what did it say after that? If you decide to divorce. Now, the place that I find where you can divorce and be free is if the other person leaves you because of your Christianity. Now, certainly if your life was in danger or things of this nature, certainly we know God understands that. But I guarantee you, most people getting a divorce, their life is not in danger. People always love to go to the 1% extreme to justify everything else. We don't want to talk about those things. You know why? Because we said I was more important than my promise to God. Well, you don't know what I went through. Listen, every married couple has problems. And trust me, every married couple has been times when they didn't even want to see the other person. Now, we're to renew our minds daily, renew our love daily. But Jesus said the only reason that it was even given in the first place was why? That writing of divorcement. Because of the hardness of our hearts. What's the qualification of a minister and a deacon? Husband of one wife. And if you go back and study the root word of that in the Greek, it meant first. It didn't just mean one wife at a time. And we've even got unqualified people standing in pulpits every Sunday because the churches aren't standing for the Word of God. They've gone their way instead of God's way. And we don't even want to repent. And we wonder why we're in the condition we're in. We want the world to repent. We don't want to repent. God says, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, if my people will repent, dear friend, today we need to take that scripture seriously. I know I'm not preaching popular things today, but let me tell you, God's not politically correct and He doesn't preach for popularity. There was a time when He preached some hard things and everybody had left except for the 12, and He turned to them and said, "Will y'all leave also?" If you think the size of a church determines its spirituality, I'll remind you that those who preach that gain is godliness from such turn away from. I know that main focus is money there. But I tell you what, a lot of people have taken that and put it in churches too. Oh, if we're doing good financially, if we're doing good in attendance, if we're doing good in money and all this, that don't just show the spirituality of a church. What shows the spirituality of the church is how close they're following the Lord. How much they're praying for their enemies, how much they're forgiving, how much they're standing up for righteousness, how much they're living in the ways of God, how concerned they are for lost souls. There's a whole lot of things there, but it all comes down to how are you following God? And we don't want to look at ourselves and say, oh, we need to repent. You know, I talked to a man one time at a church and he said, everybody in this church needs to come forward and repent. And my response to him is, I said, well, somebody's got to start. And that man that talked to me never came before the church. We're always waiting on somebody else, aren't we? Instead of looking at ourselves and saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm wrong. There's a lot of turning that needs to happen. Let me tell you, lost people need to repent. They need to repent and turn to Christ. They need to see their sin and turn to Christ. But I tell you what helps them see their sin is when saved people are acknowledging their sin. That's when they see that the heart of repentance is true, it's real, it's needful, and it's important. Do you know how much it still means to me, those old men that I saw growing up as a boy, that I saw them weep and cry and repent? Good men. upright men. But they understood they needed to repent. And we don't see much of that anymore. We see other people's faults and other people's failures, but God says, listen, you got to get the beam out of your own eye to see clearly to help the brother with the mote that's within he is. None of us will ever be perfect. But we cannot be living in sin while asking other people to repent. We can't be living in fornication or adultery while telling homosexuals they need to repent. I'll tell homosexuals they need to repent. I'll preach it. I'll preach the truth. But at the same time, I'm going to turn to us as God's people and say, if we're living in sin, we need to repent too. If we are having filthy communication proceed forth out of our mouth, we need to repent. If we've got bitterness and envy in our heart, we need to repent. If we're putting ourselves before God, we need to repent. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn, repent, turn from their wicked way. God says, I'll hear from heaven. I will heal their land. What has to come first before the healing? Oh, today we think, man, if we elect the right person, oh, if we get these right people, we get the right judges, we get the right senator, we get the right congressman, the right president. Stop it. If we get our heart centered on God, all the rest will take care of itself. We don't want to get to the root problem of what we're dealing with. The root problem is that God's people have far left the Word of God. We have gone down our own path, our own way. We've thrown away Scripture. We've thrown away what God has said. And we've done it our way. And forgot that it's His church and it's His Word that guides the church. And we're picking and choosing what we're going to follow and what we're not going to follow. And we're saying God's with us. When it might be that God is far from us, waiting on us to repent. Dear friend, today my prayer is that we'll see the truth of the Scripture. We'll look to the truth of the Word of God and we'll see where we failed, where we've been selfish, where we've done it our way instead of God's way, and turn to the truth of God's Word and say, God, forgive me. And repent. Turn from that which is evil to that which is good. Turn from vain things and turn to serving to the living God. Dear friend, today that's what we need. That's more needed than any election or anything else we're dealing with. We need to make sure our hearts and lives are in line with God first. If you're lost, you can live as good as you want to. But until you repent and trust in Christ, you will die lost. And you will lift your eyes in hell. That's not what God wants. He wants you to repent and believe the gospel and be saved today. But you got to see yourself as who you are first. Repent, dear friend. Repent while there's time. This is the burden that God has given us today. We pray that it could be a blessing. And if you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. To Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.